yeah. Oh, I'll tell you what. You are listening to the Bob Culture Podcast. I'll tell you what. This is the Macho Man Randy Savage. And you are listening to my man Rob. Don't you go away. Tear into the spice.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into a very special Dark Horse edition of the BCP. Ladies and gentlemen, it's no secret that this guy is one of my favorites of all time. Ahead of his appearance at Bringing the House Down, presented by Funhouse of Wrestling and Titan Kids, August 14th in Bayville, New Jersey. Tickets are still available. He has a match teaming up with the Cyborg Assassin, Rick Recon, taking on our resident Greek freak, Nikos Rikos, and his favorite person, the heavyweight champion, Mr. Steve Monster Mac. Please welcome into the show the host of the Moran and Friends podcast. He is the current NYCW champion, my hero. Guys, please welcome in the dark horse, Mr. Johnny Moran. Johnny, welcome in, bro. How are you, man?
Thank you. Thank you for that introduction. Damn, I think I'm going to fall backwards after that. Thank you so much.
Johnny, dude, thanks for making the time. You know, I sent you off air. We had you on the show a while ago after Mount Olympus and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, yeah. Johnny Moran has evolved and come a long way. I've gotten to know you better. I appreciate all the advice you've given me and taking me under your wing and everyone in Titan just accepting me, man. So it's a funny story. I get this question a lot, man. But I saw you a couple events back. You came up and said, hey, Rob, what's up, man? Shook my hand. I'm like, who is this? And I'm like, who is this guy? And I'm like, oh, that's Johnny. Shaved the beard, trimmed down, looked great, haircut, completely revamped. And a lot of the fan questions came in. What made you make that decision to kind of trim down, get leaner, man? You look great, man. You've been putting in the work.
Well, it's kind of a longer story, so I'll just tell the whole thing. We were wrestling at Titan, and Titan was rolling during COVID. So, like, COVID kind of gave me a little bit of a wake-up call, because as soon as I came to Titan, I wrestled Mason Martin, and I got through that match. I was a little winded, but then when I came to Sean Donovan, like, I was winded at the end of that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I was like, man, you let yourself go, and, like, we had a good match. I'm not saying we had a bad match or anything like that, but I knew myself that I was winded, so, like, it really bothered me, and then I'm just, like, sitting home and, like, things are getting closed up. You don't know if you're going to have another opportunity at things. And I'm only getting older. Like, I'm 33 right now. So, like, that kind of freaked me out. And then I watched the A&E Stone Cold biography.
Okay, I got to watch that still.
Oh, man, is that good. I cried during it. It was
so that's good. Your guy,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, when it got to his last match, I was bawling like a baby. Like, Christina was looking at me like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, leave me alone.
That's me and Nunez every time we watch Endgame. So hashtag man tears. Yeah. But go ahead, man. But yeah, you decided to trim down. Yeah,
so I saw that and I was like, dude, you don't know when it's over. So why are you not in the best shape you can be in? So that's really what kicked my ass. Like, watching him, like, he didn't know that was going to be his last match until the doctors were like, hey, like, you can't do this anymore. So I kind of took that as, like, a little fire lit under my ass to trim myself down and get in better shape. Because, like, when I started wrestling, I was in great shape. Like, I'm in better shape now, but I just came out of bodybuilding when I started wrestling. Yeah. So I got that same focus back. I got the same mentality back. You know, I started going back to the sanctuary. I also went back to Backbreakers Training Center. So, like, I mended both of those bridges that, like, were kind of in the past that I wasn't there. So all these things started to come around, and I kind of felt the momentum, because I started talking to John Trotsky that runs the sanctuary before he had his first show. And I was already on the diet plan at that point. And I'm like,
okay,
when I get back there, I have to come back there with a statement. I came back there and I won the heavyweight title. And that was my statement. That was my stamp. And that's all the pictures everybody talks about are those pictures I took that night. And the chair was not my idea. That was completely Eric Pinhat, that does photos, Pinhat Photography. He's like, as soon as I got there, like, they knew I was winning the championship. Right. So they came up to me and they were like, Eric came up to me. He's like, I got to get you in that chair with the belt. And I'm like, all right. And like, I did, like, I was trying to plan a match and like, this is the big heavyweight match. Right. I got this pressure on me. Like, this is my comeback here. Like, I have to make a statement. I have to make a stamp here. So he's talking to me about this chair. And I'm like, Eric, whatever you want. I don't care.
Just that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'll check the chair out later. And then when the chair was in the ring and then the lights were hitting the chair, I was like, oh damn, he was right.
Like, it looked great, man. The photos came out awesome, man.
Yeah.
And the stained glass photos too. I think I used it to promote this. Those were phenomenal, man.
That was another photographer by the name of Johnny G. So, I think it was Wednesday. He messaged me and he was like, hey, would you mind coming down and shooting Sunday? And I was supposed to have a show Sunday, but the show ended up getting canceled. And I'm like, I'm like, hey, man, my show got, I think it was Thursday. Yeah, he messaged me Wednesday and I was like, I can't do it. I have a show. And then the next day, my show got canceled. So I was like, hey, I can make it down for that photo shoot. And we shot all day long. There's still more. That's what I haven't. I haven't fully put up like the whole album yet because he's still not like done editing all the stuff that he has.
That's awesome, dude. And the pictures look great. I didn't know Johnny Gargano was a photographer as well, but Johnny G. No, I tease
on the side.
Yeah, that'd be a great match. I'm just saying, you and both Johnnies locking up. That'd be awesome.
Johnny versus Johnny.
But again, it was so funny, man, because at the event, I'm like, hey, what, you know, you're shaking hands with everybody, you're saying hi to everybody. I'm like, hey, guy, how are you? I'm like, oh shoot, that's, I'm like, I was like, bro, I didn't even recognize you. You look great, man. I'm pushing 40. I'm 37 right now, man. After 35, the knees a little bit. I could eat anything and stay skinny, man, dude. Especially in college, like the metabolism was there. These days, not so much, man. Like I try to stop eating after 9. I try to drink more water, less soda. Yep. Like what's like little tips that you have? Like little things you could do.
What works for me, and I always tell people, like, you have to learn your body. And that's the only reason I look like the way I look right now. Like, I know, you know, bread is not my friend and like carbs and stuff like that. Like when I'm trying to build muscle, like I'll do one cup of rice a day. But if I start going to like 2 cups of rice, like there was one time, like when I was bodybuilding, like I got up to 250 and like I was starting to get sleep apnea from it. So,
no way.
Yeah. So like, I really try to watch my weight. And now like the only things that I do really different, like I eat higher protein and, low carbs, like super low carbs. And I eat greens. Like it doesn't really bother me. A lot of people are like, oh, it's so hard to do that. But like, I don't know. Like to me, like, as long as you have a goal, you can go to parties and be around your friends and stuff. And like, I'm not saying that you can't have a cheat meal, but like, don't make it a cheat day. That's what I always tell people. Like, don't make that a cheat day. And I don't even like calling it a cheat. I like to call it, like, my personal trainer that used to train me for bodybuilding shows, he would call it an off plan meal. So it's not on your plan. So it sounds better than, oh, I'm having a cheat meal. Cause that makes you think like, oh, I could eat whatever the hell I want. And 9 times out of 10, you can't, because something's gonna, you know, give.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely killing it, man. Whatever you're doing is working. That was a lot of the questions we did, the fan questions, a lot of people chimed in, like what is Johnny doing different, man? Because again, I didn't recognize you, man. So, and that's a compliment, man. You're looking great. Obviously, I always say hashtag top guy in Titan everywhere you go. Let's be real. Let's get some shameless promo out of the way here. You're teaming up with Rick Recon coming up again, taking on Nikos Ricos and your good friend, not really, Steve Monster Mac. In this matchup, man. And Rick Recon, I don't want to misquote it here, put in the comments, we were promoting this, there aren't many guys in this business I'd rather team up and go to battle with, man. Your thoughts on teaming up with Rick Recon in this one? I like it.
This isn't actually the first time we teamed up. We've teamed up at Mortal Championship Wrestling in upstate New York. Yeah, so we work well together. We know each other's stuff. Like, Again, he's someone I've wrestled a bunch too. Like, I've wrestled him in New York. I've wrestled him in Pennsylvania. Like, I've had about like probably 7 to 8 matches with Rick. So like, I know him well. He knows me well. He knows what I like. I know what he likes. And we just kind of mesh. So I'm pretty excited to team with him, but I'm even more excited to be alone in that ring with Mac.
Oh, there it is. I mean, let's get it out of the way here, man. And I'm excited for that match. Like I always say, you have your matches of the night and then you have your marquee. In my mind, in my personal, you know, take off the TCW hat, just the journalist hat. This is the marquee right now. This is the marquee match. I'm excited for this one. I mean, let's be real. A pin over Monster Mac, like you said, you want to be alone in the ring with him. That could have great ramifications going forward. I hope that's the case. Obviously, you two have had words. A recent interview, David Adams just released. Shout to David Adams. But he said, and I quote, and I hope I'm not misquoting this. He said, you look like a guy who plays a wrestler, and you're not a wrestler. And that's why you're not getting a direct opportunity. Your thoughts on that statement by Monster Mac?
He's gonna find out. He can't run from me then. We're in the ring together. So, like, he can't run from me. As much as he says, I'm not a wrestler and I look like someone that looks like a wrestler, he's going to find out. He can't run from me in that ring.
I love the confidence, man. You're absolutely killing it there, man. You know, I see you climbing that ladder. I said it on commentary. One day, Johnny Moran is going to be holding gold, have gold around the waist in Titan, just like everywhere else, man. So let's use that as a little segue, man, because I see you doing a lot of stuff with Sanctuary, yes, which is really, really interesting concept. I've heard a lot of stories about the venue, how it became a wrestling venue, what goes on there. I know a lot of people that work there, a lot of really cool people that I met. Shout to Rosh. He really nice guy. It was nice to get to meet him. So I'm talking to him and I'm like, is Johnny kind of like a heel over there? Like I'm putting the pieces together. And I'll paraphrase here, but he goes, yeah, he's usually a giant jerk. I'll use the word jerk over there. So it's a little bit different mentality for you over at Sanctuary. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So my character there, it's all based off of it's a little bit of real life mixed with a little bit of theater. So my character there in real life, John, when my dad died and I was kind of depressed and I was still wrestling, I had my head down, and cause like there's pews there. So I'm assuming my head was down and I was sitting in a pew or something that made him come over. Yeah. And at that time, literally I first met John is very standoffish. When you meet John, like a lot of people say he's a jerk, but when you get to know him, he's a jerk, but you know, when it comes to what goes on at the Sanctuary, it's his baby. So like, he's a jerk for a reason. Now John Trotsky came up to me and he was like, have you been training? And I was like, yeah, I've been training on Thursdays. And he's like, all right. He's like, I'm going to give you what I have left. He's like, whatever I have left to give, I'm going to give it to you. Just start coming here every Sunday. So for at least a year and a half, I was there every Sunday with him. And it's a church. So when it's cold, there's icicles in there and we're in full sweats. Like it was a long time. So like, he also trained someone else at the same time, which was Marcy, Cabrera that I wrestled, at the Sanctuary. He, kind of was always the one that he would always put in like the situations of like getting the championship or putting him in the right spots for the championship. So at one time I left and I didn't come back for 2 years. And then when I came back, you know, that's where the story picks up and this year has picked up. And, you know, I came back and in my head and in the character's head, I just want to prove to him that I was the one he should have been chose. Like it shouldn't have been Marcy. It always should have been me. And he's looked at from me and from Marcy as a father figure. So we're both fighting over, it's two brothers fighting over dad's attention.
Yeah, so okay. I like that.
It's both shades of gray. Like Marcy is your stereotypical baby, like, you know, white meat, like everything. And I have a little bit more of an edge. And then when I get in that ring, I'm a jerk. I'm an absolute jerk.
Yeah.
Like if you watch my matches at the Sanctuary, I'm a dick. Like Ross said.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what he said. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. So like, I always like to say that character is a shade of gray because he really just wants the person he sees as his dad in his eyes to look at him and say, I'm proud. That's all he wants.
Yeah.
And the only way he sees to get that is to get the championship. And now Marcy dropped the ball and lost it to Ace. So now I got to go after Ace.
Now I'm caught up, which I like. You and Ace Austin, man. I mean, yeah. Ace is always great. More flips than the guys on my foosball table, man. He's amazing. Yeah. But, dude, I mean, that'll be great. Tell everyone a little bit more about Sanctuary, because I was trying to, like, wrap my head around it. It's kind of a different philosophy. Like, it's almost like wrestling meets not like a sitcom, but it's almost like it's a little more fourth wall breaking, I guess. I guess Rosh was saying or something like that.
Yeah.
It's different than your typical wrestling promotion, I guess.
They try to make it more theater than it is wrestling. And we've been lacking and John said this, the past two shows, we just had fights. Like, there were just fights. There was no skits in between. And, like, he is very crucial on having, like, the skits.
Yeah.
That lead into stuff, that lead into this guy turning this way or that guy turning that way. But it's very Lucha Underground-esque.
Okay, that's what
it reminds me the most of. Because, like, the skits are almost more important than your matches that you're watching. Because, like, yeah, it's a match, it's a fight. But the skits are what hooks you to make you watch next week. Because you want to see why this guy is going to turn on this guy. And you saw this guy talking to someone. Like, and we try to shoot them not, like, in a locker room.
Yeah.
Like, we try to shoot them in different areas to make them look more cinematic. The skits we do.
I got you, man. It's very cool. It's very different. Yeah. I'm looking forward to watching more Sanctuary, man. It's cool to see you everywhere. And speaking of the skits and whatnot, obviously, shameless promo again, guys, this Sunday, Camp Leapfrog will be down at H2O. IWTV 100 will be there. They're bringing in everybody for, I believe it's Abby's 21st birthday. I think we can officially announce this. BCP will be sponsoring Mr. Johnny Moran.
Thank you so much. I think we're
sponsoring his match or whatever, but I'm sponsoring Johnny Moran. That's what I wanted. I'll stop,
thank
man.
You so much no, for that.
Got you, bro. Dude. Thank you for everything, man. Like, I back people that I believe in, man. I believe in you, man. You're in, I believe, a big, what is it, eight-man tag? Yes. But what's going on with that?
It's an 8-man Atomicos. Now, honestly, guys, like, if I could say one thing, if you ever wanted to see Camp Leapfrog live, this is the show to see, because literally we have everyone that's been on the shows.
It's wild.
Yeah, it's going to be insane. Like, Chris has already told us, like, everyone has to stick to their times because we have so many people on the show and we have surprises that I can't
That's why I keep hearing. I keep hearing there's surprises. Yeah.
There's surprises we can't even talk about, but it's going to be insane. So get yourself there. And just experience Camp Leapfrog live. Cause this is literally our first live show. Like, otherwise it's just been the camp. Like, everybody's been around the ring. You know, this is our first, like, fully ours live show, and you got to get there. And I'm in, an Atomicos. And I don't know if you know this about me. I used to team with Green Ant.
I did not know that.
At Excellence Professional Wrestling, we used to be Ant Man.
I love it.
And Johnny Moran, and he was the Green Ant, and Thief Ant wasn't there, which is his normal tag partner. So we happened to team together on a birthday show, and then a fan actually, like, commented, because there was a picture of me and him coming out of the entranceway together, and she commented, "Look, it's Ant Man,"
and I'm like it.
I literally screenshotted it to the promoter, Dave, and I sent it to him. I'm like, what if we did this? And he's like, you two don't have anything going on right now, so that'd work. And then, like, we became, like, a really fun tag team together. We had a lot of fun together, but now he's across the ring from me, so I don't know how that's going to turn out. I do play a different character there, too. I'm Inspector Moran, so.
I was going to ask. You were, like, Counselor Moran at one point.
I was originally Counselor Moran, and then the Camp Athletic Commission came together. So then I got promoted to Inspector Moran. That's the hat and the T-shirt with that. But
Camp Leapfrog's amazing because there's so many different, like Erica was a werewolf, for instance.
Right.
Like, that's the best way to describe it. I almost relate it to, obviously, professional wrestling meets a Salute Your Shorts, a Nickelodeon show, but and everything in between. So Abby's 21st is going to be great, guys. Again, that's August 8th down at H2O here in New Jersey. I think tickets are still available. Also, IWTV 100 will be there that day as well. So again, lots of surprises, a lot of names in that building, a lot of your favorite indie talent in that building. Camp Leapfrog, We worked with them before. We got this turnbuckle pad signed by a lot of the talent. One of my favorite pieces.
That's so awesome.
Oh, I love it. They didn't give you one? Come on, man.
Oh, no, there's only four of those, baby.
Oh, that's right.
One of the four.
There it is. One of four. I love it, man.
Like that was the actual pad used on the show.
Dude, that's wild, man. That's amazing. And happy to be a part of that. I love what they're doing. It's so different. It's just content for IWTV. It's content we get on Facebook too. I'm all about the outside the box ideas. Chris, give me a call. But I'm all about that kind of stuff. Shameless promo. But I want to talk to you about something I really, really love. And I'm not just saying this because you're on the show. Moran and Friends podcast. I'm a fan of the show. I'm a fan of Alex. Like, I really want to meet Alex. Is he going to be there on Sunday?
Yes.
I really want to meet him, like, in person. I'm such a big fan. But I love what you guys are doing. I was talking to you about your episode with Erica, who is just always amazing. I feel like she transcends, like, wrestling in so many ways. And, dude, I must have watched that two or three times already. And I just laugh. It's just amazing, man. Tell us about the genesis or the origin of the Miranda Friends podcast, because you're absolutely killing it. It's one of my favorites.
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of Joe Rogan. You know, and I was listening to his podcast one day, and it was like over quarantine. And I just called Alex because, like, Alex is my best friend. I talk to him every day.
I love that.
I called him and I'm like, hey, I'm like, I know you have a podcast. I'm like, but because he had Hitting the Mat with Andrew Anderson Scott Maestro. Right. So they had a podcast and they weren't doing it. They were doing it when we started COVID, but then like a couple months in, like they kind of tapered off and like stopped doing it. So I was like, hey, like, what do you think if I had my own? I'm like, but I want to make it different. Like, I want it, like, I want everybody to get, like, I wanted to give everybody, like, a gift. Like, if I have you on my show, like, that graphic, like, your graphic, your graphic. Like,
and they all pop for it, too. Every single one of them pops.
Yeah, and, like, you get to keep your graphic. And then I wanted to do, like, the graphic to show, like, hey, this is who's going to be on this week. Then take a clip. Show a little clip that'll either make you laugh or something to hook you in to listen to it. And like that was literally my premise. And then season one, I just wanted to do people I was comfortable with. Yeah. And like I'm not gonna lie to you, like me and Erica, season two, the one that you listened to a bunch of times, I probably said five words to Erica before we had that conversation.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. Like, yeah. And then like, we just vibed on that conversation.
So good.
Yeah. And that's, I'm not going to lie to you, like going into that, I'm like, man, I've only talked to her like three or four times. Like,
and of course she does like a Mario accent for the first 5 minutes, like doesn't break. Well, you know?
So she messaged me like that day and was like, hey, I'm going to do this in an accent. And I'm like, we don't do that on my show. Like,
yeah,
we
like
go out of character. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Just like hear about like, I want to like get to the, like the real you, like last night. Cause I typically record tonight, but for you, I moved everything.
Oh dude. I'm not worthy of that.
Yes, please. You are worthy. Stop. Yes, you are worthy. You are one of the people I studied. Cause
I wouldn't go that far. Let's not lower the bar.
I studied you because even interviewing me, like we only had a couple words before we spoke the first time. You know what I mean? And I'm like, how does he get comfortable? And like, just, and like, I listen to a lot of podcasts just to see how people do things differently. Yeah. But I had a conversation last night with Trajan Horn, the chubby daddy or the daddy of the galaxy now. Sorry. And literally we didn't talk about wrestling until about an hour in or 40 minutes in or something like that. Like he kept joking with me. He's like, I don't want to talk about wrestling. And I'm like, that's fine. Cause I didn't know. And then he, spoiler alert for my podcast, but he's taking a step away from wrestling. So he just kind of wanted to talk about everything else he's doing. True. And it's a very interesting podcast. But it literally was just to kind of keep me relevant during COVID. Cause I literally had Camp Leapfrog and Titan. And then I knew Titan was going to stop in the winter. So I knew I needed something to get going to keep myself out there. And, you know, I pride myself on entertaining people. Like I like to entertain people. So I was like, what can I do right now? Everybody's stuck at home. And then I was just thinking we were going to do audio. Then Alex wanted to do the video. Yeah. That was Alex's deal. Like, Alex is like, we're going to do video. And I'm like, oh man, like, I'm going to have to like look presentable. Yeah. All the time.
Exactly. Yeah. I get that, man. But I love the format. Like, even for me, like, the show was all audio. And then during that time, I was going through like big move and big life changes that were awful and terrible. But you guys have really just put smiles on my face and helped me through so much, man. So I really got to concentrate on my craft and all that kind of stuff. So the pod went from audio to being video. It's kind of the way of the world. So Alex was very smart in that regard, man. It's at another level. You kind of can connect with the audience a little bit more. But I love the format. We were talking about this at Titan, kind of like that old school, like talk show format where you bring it, you know, like the host hold up the pictures. So you have Alex. I got to get a tech. I think I'm just going to steal Alex from you.
Alex. You and Alex would gel very well together.
I'm not worthy, man. But I love the videos. And then Erica's pulling up pics for it.
That was good. I guess she messaged Alex during the day and she's like, I want to mess with Johnny.
I love it.
I'm like, okay, like, because when she said, she's like, Alex, pull up picture, whatever. I'm looking down because, like, I'll write down what exactly I have, like, the photos. And I'm like, why does she want to see that photo? And then it's a completely different photo.
You see your expression. See
my face, like, and it goes back to, like, wait a minute. Like, what is this?
She's brilliant, man. Like, she should be like a writer or something too, man. Like, she's very brilliant in her promos. And again, she's doing great things. Yeah. You guys are doing great things. Real quick. We will get away from wrestling. Don't worry. But I did want to talk about, you mentioned the graphics, man, because everyone pops for them. You know, people coming on the show, they see them. Erica obviously talking about the heights and all that kind of stuff, but they're so good. The name, the graphic is amazing. And I like it when you put out the season 2 one, cause I'm like, that's Erica. That's Adina. Yeah. That's Big Dust. Like, it's almost like not Where's Waldo, but it's like Who's Who kind of a thing. Yeah. Like, tell us about the concept behind putting out that graphic, because little things like that, like details, are so important to branding and stuff like that. I absolutely love it. I mean, you should make t-shirts. Are there t-shirts of that?
Yeah, you can get them at Teesprings.
Done.
I'm already on it.
My man.
But where the idea for that graphic came from, I wanted to do a cartoon. And like, I wanted that to be, and that was the one thing I asked Alex. I'm like, cause I normally listen to my podcast on Apple. And then he's like, oh, I can, if we did like cartoon graphics, I could like change it for every episode on Spotify. I'm like, wait, what? So then I started listening to Spotify and then you could see like the different album, like almost like album covers. Like, and I'm like, I got to find a cartoon. Cause the guy that draws them for me, his name's Hiroto Fukunaga and he's in Japan. He's made my Dark Horse graphic, he made the Ant-Man graphic. I was in a tag team, the Mighty Militia, he made that graphic. And then he does work for like Ring of Honor, Impact, X-Men animated series, and Scooby-Doo. So nice. I'm like, originally I was like, man, maybe we do Scooby-Doo. Like it's in his wheelhouse. Like he's on IMDb for it. So like maybe we go that route. And then I don't know how I ended up on Hulk and Friends.
Yeah.
But like I was scrolling. I think it was just cause I was looking at like Scooby-Doo stuff and I'm like, I don't know if like I want to do Scooby-Doo. Cause like I'm going to have a majority of wrestlers on here or people that are in the wrestling world. I'm like, I don't know if I want to do Scooby-Doo. Not that I have anything against Scooby-Doo. I love Scooby-Doo. But then when I saw the Hulk and Friends, I'm like, oh man. And then I sent it to Hirto and he like just gave me a thumbs up. And I'm like, what do you need? And he's like, I need promos of everyone. And boom, he did the first one. And then the second one, he gave everybody legs and individual graphics. Cause like, he actually like follows my stuff on Twitter and like you'll randomly see him retweet stuff. And he made them legs now so that everybody like season 2 got legs and like they get a full graphic that like, and like, that's what I tell people. I'm like, make stickers out of them because like stickers will sell. Like if you want to put yourself on a t-shirt, sure. But I mean the stickers like 100% will sell.
Oh, dude, but I would buy all of them.
I would buy all of them.
I totally would. That's amazing, man. But guys, obviously, you know, hit that subscribe button. He said it's on Apple. It's on Spotify. Moran and Friends. It's a great podcast. Everyone check that out. It's one of my favorites. So check that out. Johnny, I want to ask you this, man, because, you know, you kind of referenced it earlier, but I did want to get away from the wrestling, man, because, you know, you do these podcasts. It's, you know, where did you start? Where did you begin? We do have some fan questions. We'll throw it to that in a little bit, man. But I wanted to ask you, last time I talked to you, we kind of talked about drumming and stuff like that. You said you'd done like the snare stuff. I definitely got to just like play something with you or on a pad or something. That'd be really cool. But I wanted to ask you, like, who is Johnny Moran outside of the ring, man? Like you're a gym guy, obviously a former drummer, obviously podcast host, a wrestler, but like what else goes on? Like, who is Johnny outside of the ring? Are you a musician? Are you an artist? Do you like to create like the podcast and such? Like, who's Johnny outside of the ring?
Johnny right now outside of the ring is focusing on being in the ring, or where my stories go. Like, I'm very hands-on with my character at the Sanctuary. And like, John will throw me ideas, then I'll throw ideas back. Like, we go back like literally all day long. You know, and
you like having that creativity, that pencil a little bit.
If you let me help create, like, that's when you see like the real me come out, because like, I'm so invested when we're like, and like, if we have an end goal of like, you tell me the end goal, and then like, we can work creatively together to get to that end goal. Oh man. Like, that's magic to me. Like, I did theater when I was in high school. And
did you really?
Yeah. So
you did theater, marching band, and track, if I'm correct.
Uh-huh. And
look
power.
At you. Yeah. It shouldn't be the dark horse. It should be the workhorse. Look at this guy. Man,
well, that, it's funny because like, people ask me like, what are you doing? And I'm always doing something. Like, I'm never like, if somebody will like text me like, what's up? What are you doing? I'm like, washing clothes. I'm cutting the grass. Like, my dad kind of raised me and my brother like that. Like, same thing. Like, I'll call my brother. You'll never hear my brother be like, oh, I'm just sitting home doing nothing. Unless it's like 9 or 10 o'clock at night. Like, even like, you know, like, I needed you to move the podcast back a little bit just so I could
get my work on it.
And I appreciate that. Thank you so much for that.
Stop. No, please. You moved your show. Please. I'm not worthy of that.
Yeah. No, you're fine. You're fine. You're fine. But it's things like that. Like, I'm always trying to, like, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I do. I listen to yours. I listen to Joe Rogan's. I listen to the Tornado Tag guys.
Shout out to those guys.
Yeah. I just try to. Cause like, I try to stay kind of in my work, like weightlifting, like going to the gym. Like, I know that affects wrestling, like the podcasting, it makes me more comfortable with people for wrestling. Like, when you're in front of a crowd, like, then I'll sit down and like watch matches, and like, I won't even watch like the wrestling in the ring. Sometimes I'll watch the reactions of the audience, and then I'll go back and watch the moves. Like, I constantly work. Like, I have a 9-to-5 job like everybody else. I'm at that, you know, 7 a.m. until 4 p.m. So, you know, I'm out of there. I go right to the gym, and then hopefully by like 9-10 o'clock, I can sit down and watch shows. But like, 9 times out of 10, I might be just passing out.
Yeah.
You're
busy, man. You're putting in the miles, putting in the drives, man. You're doing great things. And Johnny, dude, it's always so good talking to you. I chose talking to you now. Do you have time for a few fan questions? Is that cool, bro?
Of course. Yeah,
appreciate it, man. Some of these we covered on the first time I talked to Johnny. So we'll do kind of a rapid fire if you want. You know, you could be real quick or do whatever you want, man. From our good friend Wes, who's always very supportive of the indie scene. My question for Johnny is, what got him into wrestling? The first time, I guess, what was the first time he saw it, and what made you fall in love with it to become a wrestler?
All right. What got me into wrestling? I have a brother that's 10 years older than me. So he used to, leave his like LJN wrestling action figures around.
Nice.
And when I was teething, I used to teethe on Hulk Hogan's head or Paul Orndorff or Cowboy Bob Orton. And,
if you fight Hulk Hogan, you have to literally bite him on the head now. Just
Full circle. Definitely. Yeah, literally full circle.
Yeah. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, no, that's the truth, though. It would be full circle.
Yeah.
And he had all these Saturday Night Main Events on VHS tape. So I would either watch cartoons or start watching those. I've watched those Saturday Night Main Event tapes 1,001 times. I could tell you every match, everybody
That's awesome.
Wins and loses. And he had like Starrcade 87. Cause that was like, I didn't understand like Ric Flair and like WCW and all that.
Yeah.
Until I was a little older. Cause I just remember there was that one tape, like there was the WWF and then there was that one Starrcade tape. And like, I remember the Brain Busters were on it, but they were called the Four Horsemen. I was like, why are they called the Four Horsemen?
They're
the Brain Busters. Like, I don't get this. And I don't know. I was weird as a kid too. Like, I loved Hulk Hogan, but I loved Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson. I loved Ric Flair. I loved Ravishing Rick Rude, Jake the Snake. Like, I loved old school. I just loved wrestling as a kid. But the wrestler that made me want to be a wrestler, that's Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Your guy, man.
Yeah, like, it was weird, like, and I didn't even know he was Stone Cold Steve Austin at this point. I just remember watching WCW. It was either, I forget what the hell the name of the show was. I think it was WCW Saturday Night.
And yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, they had the ring. It's fun.
Yeah, but yeah.
Anyways, he had like this flipped over haircut and he had Dragon Slayer on his butt and Dragon Slayer on his boots. I remember I used to ask my mom all the time, every Christmas, every birthday, I'm like, I want the Dragon Slayer toy. Cause like I had like all the action figures. And she's like, I don't know who the hell you're talking about. And I didn't know his name. Like, I didn't know Steve Austin.
Yeah.
And then come years later, like, this guy, Stone Cold Steve Austin, I'm like, wow, he's a badass. And then I remember even seeing him in ECW when he was cutting those, like, vicious promos that everybody was like, wow, this is real. Like, this is some real hard stuff right here. But, yeah, like, I just kind of, like, followed his entire career. And, like, he's always kind of been my favorite.
That's awesome. Now, did they, first of all, make that figure of Stone Cold? And did you ever get, they never made it. Okay.
They never made that figure. I don't even think they thought to make that figure.
I was going
to
say, cause I know people, man, I said, get that for Johnny. Hey, maybe you never know one day. Chucky was asking what triggered the commitment change in physique. We covered that a little bit. Looking jacked these days. I concur. SP Anderson, who is your favorite GM at Titan? We'll skip that one. Lisa Carlin, always a big supporter of the Indies. I have a question for Johnny. Who is his favorite wrestler now and growing up? I think you covered that. Who's your favorite wrestler right for now besides Johnny Moran?
Oh, Joe Coffey. He's on NXT UK. If I could wrestle someone right now that's on the WWE roster, it would be Joe Coffey.
I like that, man. And I think I remember you saying Samoa Joe was another guy.
Joe is always my favorite too. But Joe Coffey right now, like I've been watching a lot of Joe Coffey.
That's a great answer. Anthony Fazio, another huge supporter of the Indies. Guys, thanks for chiming in with these questions. We love the love. Where's his favorite? You can be politically correct here. Where's his favorite place to wrestle? And who you could say all of them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Where's his favorite place to wrestle? Maybe like what state? And who's your favorite promoter to work for? Again, whoever is good to you, right? Yeah.
My God, get me real heat.
All of them.
Yeah, literally all the places I'm working right now. I love all the promoters and all the promotions, like Titan and Billy and Charlie there and Anthony, like the family there is fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, New York Championship Wrestling, Johnny Patches was the first promoter to be like, you're my guy. I'm putting the heavyweight title on.
That's amazing.
So like, I remember like, even when I won that belt, like I was a bad guy. So it was kind of like cashing in the Money in the Bank thing. They have a brass ring. I still have it over there.
That's awesome.
But even then I still kind of got a little emotional. I know I was the jerk and everybody's booing me and stuff, but like, when I got in the back, he like gave me a hug and I'm like, thank you. I was like, thank you for believing in me. You know what I mean? Obviously the Sanctuary, John Trotsky, like he's the guy that like took me to the next level. So like performing in front of him, performing with him, hopefully having one match with him one day, you know, that's very special to me. Obviously Camp Leapfrog with Chris Levin, Maestro, and Alex, one of my best friends, like performing there, like, you know, it's my best friend's company. So I'm trying to like put out the best I can for him. I love the atmosphere there. When you come Sunday and see it, you're going to experience it, Bob. You're going to get like the full Camp Leapfrog experience. You'll understand exactly what everybody's talking about when like the wrestlers are telling you, like, it's fantastic to work here. Cause it's just a good atmosphere, like the whole day around. Also I returned to Backbreakers. They're called Backbreakers Entertainment now. Justin Glory was the original guy that trained me. That was the first school I ever went to. I enjoy working for him, and he'll, you know, he's a good guy and there's good kids coming out of his school. So I don't mind making time to go out there and help him out. Also, UFO Wrestling out of Massachusetts, Pat, it's been a great guy. I reached out to him once and, you know, he gave me all their UFO dates and nothing but a pleasure to work there for those guys. And then lastly, but not leastly, D2W, the Jersey Devil runs that. And the Jersey Devil is probably one of my favorite people. He's nuts. Like, he's just a wild man. And I love wild people. So I love being there. It's another place with just like a good atmosphere, good people, you know.
Love it, man. Great answers. And guys, like, let's be real. You know, I just, again, not because he's on the show, but taking off the TCW hat, taking off whatever promotion I'm working for hat, just journalist, purely looking who has it, who doesn't. Johnny brings a lot to the ring. One of the best step up knees in the corner I've ever seen, man. Really, really great, man.
Thank you.
No, I mean it, bro. He's great. He's got a great look. He's got a great persona. He can do it all. He can be a big jerk if you want him to. He's amazing. Shane, let's get Johnny basketball part two. Let's get Johnny in there. Just putting that out into the world.
I'm terrible, guys, at basketball.
So are you really?
Was there anybody that was terrible at basketball?
No. There weren't a lot of points the first quarter. Let's put it that way.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, exactly. But it was a lot of fun. It got competitive at times. Different story. But yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. But Johnny, doing great things. Real quick, before we get to the next question, man, where can people reach out to you, book you? Should they reach you through social media? Is there an email? Yeah.
So social media is fine. My Instagram and my Twitter are Johnny Moran _. If you want to reach me on Facebook, if you're a booker, please friend me and I'll talk to you there. If you're a fan, I really appreciate it. Just go to Johnny Moran the Wrestler and like the page, because, you know, Facebook only gives me a limit of 5,000. So I have to start cutting people when we get to that point. I hate to do that.
Hashtag top guy problems. This is the guy right here. And one of the last ones for the fans, I'll combine the two here, because we did get this similar question a few times. Again, you can go with a politically correct answer here. Where do you see yourself in pro wrestling 5 years from now? Also, if given the opportunity to wrestle for Impact, ROH, AEW, or WWE, cliche question, of course, which one would you pick? I, you know, you don't have to pick one, obviously. Yeah. But where do you see yourself in 5 years from now?
In 5 years, I'm hoping to be somewhere on TV. I mean, that's the main goal, whether it be Ring of Honor, whether it be Impact, whether it be NWA, whether it be WWE or AEW. I mean, the end all be all goal is obviously WWE. Like, that's what I watched as a child. Like, that's where I want to be. I mean, AEW would be awesome too, though. You know, I'm not saying that AEW is any less. It's just new, you know?
Yeah, man. It's awesome. And there's opportunity out there. Even during this pandemic era, we've seen a lot of our friends, Johnny, you can attest to that, getting a lot of shine, AEW Dark, signed NXT, whatever it is. In my mind, you should be right up there, man. AEW coming to New York pretty soon. Give Johnny a call. Just putting it out there, Cody. See what you can do. Johnny, last one from me, man. As a commentator and hard hit, like, be real with me. Don't be nice to me. Yeah. I'm the new guy, man, on commentary. I'm very appreciative of the opportunities, whether I'm working production or commentary, all that stuff. I work with different people at different places. I learn every time. I try not to step on toes, but I always want to make an impression. Coming from an in-ring performer, and I hear a lot of the same things, so I'm interested to hear what you say. What advice would you give me as a commentator learning the business right now?
Just be you. Because, like, when I listen to you, like, call matches, like, you're the same guy that's on the podcast. Like, that's what you kind of want to show. Because, like, people don't attach to, like, the character announcer.
Yeah.
When you're just you and you're calling the match how you're calling it, like, that, people attach to that. And, like, when you think of the funny pun that, like, came into your head and it wasn't, like, written down for you, that someone else thought of, like, and it comes out naturally, like, that's the people that people listen to. Like, I'll give you and Anthony Blackwell major.
Love Anthony.
I listen to both of you. Like, he does it at the Sanctuary, you do it at Titan, and both of you guys I knew were gonna kill it, and then you actually killed it when you went out there. So, like, I give you both props. I'd love to hear you guys work together. That would be awesome.
Is he going to be there on Sunday? I'd love to actually meet. He's been on the show, but I've never met him.
Yes. So, yes, he'll be there.
Shout out to Anthony, Tornado Tag Podcast, Banging Beers Podcast. He's got a lot of stuff going on. Yeah. Shout out to him. But I appreciate the kind words, Johnny, man. And back at you, bro. Like, you are doing great things. I see people in the business just kind of, you know, everyone's at different levels in the business, man. And I feel like you're hashtag top guy, top tier. Like, fans are really starting to connect with you in a major, major way, man. And I love seeing that. I love seeing you grow. You know, you're putting the work in at the gym. You're putting the work in the creative process, man. And just thank you so much for making the time. But before we get out of here and do all the formalities, we have to talk about the shameless promo. Tell everyone about the merch. This is going front and center. I got to get a frame. Thank you, Johnny, for this. And the pin, man, with Christine on it. That is very cool. I wore that on my jacket the other night. But thank you for that, man. Tell everyone where they can get the merch. It shows, right?
At shows, you can come see me. If not, I do have a Linktree on all my social media, and that's right to my Teespring. I literally I don't make the graphics, but I design the shirts and the hats and the stickers and everything. It's all done by me. So, you know, if you want to come out and support, I really appreciate it.
I love it, man. And last one while you're saying that, I'm thinking, man, you know, because you talk about, you know, there's going to come a day where I'm not going to wrestle anytime, you know, and I don't think that's going to be anytime soon, man. I think you are on the way up, brother. But would you ever want to be like kind of like in a behind the scenes, like, you know, like with the pencil or producer or anything? Because I see a lot of the creativity. You talk about graphics and, you know, the characters and stuff, man. I see that in you.
I wouldn't mind doing that. I do sometimes help out people with endings and stuff like that. Like, people come to me, like, you know, what did you think about this match? And, like, I love giving advice. I love helping out other people. You know, like, even show days where it's like a big important match to me, if somebody pulls me aside and asks me, like, hey, would you do this or would you do that? And then I would give them an option on both, like, how to do it that way and how to do it that way. Just so that, you know, if they decide, and then I'll tell them, like, I would do it this way, though.
I love that, man. I can see that in you, man. And you're killing it in all facets, man. Like I said, hopefully one day I'll see you carrying the Golden Titan, because you're carrying gold everywhere else. Johnny Moran, ladies and gentlemen, is killing it. See him Sunday, August 8th at Camp Leapfrog. See him August 14th at Funhouse and Titan Kids Wrestling presents Bringing the House Down. Tickets are still available. That's in Bayville, New Jersey. Come see Johnny. Get the merch. Johnny, stay safe out there. Thanks for making the time, man. Always good talking to you. Thank you for the advice, and just continued success to you, my man.
No, thank you, Bob. Thank you for having me.
Anytime, man. All right, brother. I'll see you Sunday, man.
All right, I'll see you then.
All right, guys. And like we always say here on the BCP, everyone stay safe, stay positive, take care of each other. We're out. Peace.
See ya.